VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
It's a news roundup day, and we'll welcome you to Crosstalk here on VCY America. We've got a lot of stories that we'd like to share with you. Sandy's been putting them together all week, and I can see my stacks will exceed the time that's available to us today. But we thank you for tuning in and staying informed on so many critical issues. We seek to bring a number of guests and topics on the program that will give you the news and information. Yeah, I know it doesn't agree with the major media across this nation, but so much of that is fake news as to what is going on, and we're here to keep you informed on critical issues. And friends, sometimes we go through these stories. Don't let these be a cause for fear in your life. These are they which should prompt us to be in greater prayer for our nation, realizing the issues that are at stake across this land. We must recognize through all of these things that God is in control. He is sovereign, and His plan is going to come to fruition. And we know that God is at work, and we see these things that go on in our world today. They're troubling to us, but let's keep our eyes focused on the Lord, even in tough times. But let this also serve as motivation for us to be in fervent prayer for our nation and our elected leaders, and also the to be effective in getting out the good news of the gospel for such a time as this. So very, very important. We're going to begin with a lot of what's going on in the news right now with the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden today. This is from Fox News. Denied allegations of sexual assault leveled against him by former staffer Tara Reid, personally addressing the claims for the first time more than a month after she went public with the accusations. They aren't true, he said. This never happened. Further, Biden called for the Secretary of the Senate to ask the National Archives to identify any record of the complaint she alleges she filed and make available to the press any such document. He added responsible news organizations should examine and evaluate the full and growing record of inconsistencies in her story, he said, that has changed repeatedly in both small and big ways. He appeared on MSNBC's Morning Joe program. No, it's not true, he said. I'm saying unequivocally it is never happened, and it didn't. It never happened. Well, here is the Daily Caller. Tara Reid condemned the media's silence regarding her sexual assault allegations, demanded equal treatment as other survivors like Christine Blasey Ford. Reid lamented that her sexual assault accusation had become a partisan tool, saying that Republicans have weaponized her and Democrats have both ignored and discredited her. It's inexcusable, she said. I'm sorry that I'm politically inconvenient, but my perpetrator was Joe Biden, and people need to deal with it. Women's groups that backed Blasey Ford's sexual assault accusations against Judge Brett Kavanaugh, including pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood, Emily's List, the National Abortion Rights Action League, they've all been silent regarding Tara Reid's accusations. Tara Reid said that she would have it would have meant so much to have a woman's movement or platform that supported her during this time. FoxNews.com also reporting Tara Reid slammed Hillary Clinton for offering her endorsement to Vice President Joe Biden on Tuesday after she came out with the allegations of abuse. I voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016, she said. I voted for her in the primary. I'm a lifelong Democrat. But yet, what I see now is someone enabling a sexual predator, and it was my former boss, Joe Biden. Very interesting indeed. She said, I will not be smeared, dismissed, or ignored. I stand in truth. I will keep speaking out. Also interesting, and the NewAmerican.com has the story of officials at the University of Delaware, which refuses to release the Senate records of Joe Biden that could potentially corroborate the sexual assault allegations, have close personal and financial ties to the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. According to records reviewed by Fox News, the chairman of the university's board even bought Biden's home in 1996 for $1.2 million, which was reportedly top dollar in light of the house's condition. It's believed that the Senate files could shed light on the matter. former Vice President Biden, they had dropped off 1,875 boxes containing photographs, documents, videotapes, and files, along with 415 gigabytes worth of electronic records at the University of Delaware in 2012. And it's also very interesting that the short list of Democratic vice presidential potentials, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, Tammy Baldwin, Tammy Duckworth, Jean Shaheen, Catherine Cortez Masto, and Maggie Hassan, all are standing by Vice President Joe Biden at this time. Five individuals have corroborated Tara Reid's assault allegations so far. On another story here of that's been taking shape this week as well from FoxNews.com, internal FBI documents unsealed yesterday indicate that Peter Stroik, former head of FBI counterintelligence, ordered the investigation of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn to remain open even after it was slated to be closed due to a lack of so-called derogatory information. Material surfaced just a day after explosive FBI communications revealed that the top bureau's officials discussed their motivations for interviewing Flynn in the White House in 2017 and openly questioned if their goal was to get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired. Those handwritten notes suggested that agents planned in the alternative to get Flynn to admit to breaking the Logan Act. Flynn pleaded guilty to making false statements to Stroik and another agent during the White House interview, but he has yet to be sentenced as his team has sought to withdraw his guilty plea, citing egregious FBI misconduct. As we deal with the coronavirus, we are seeing a growing number of medical doctors speaking out as to how this country is handling this issue. This is a story from Daily Wire. During a press conference, California emergency room doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Masihi of Accelerated Urgent Care told reporters that nationwide lockdown policies are not an appropriate reaction to what current data shows about the coronavirus. The activist mommy chimes in saying, do we need to still shelter in place? Our answer is emphatically no. Do we need businesses to be shut down? Emphatically no. Do we need to test them and get them back to work? Absolutely, Dr. Erickson stated. The data is showing us it's time to lift the stay-at-home order, so if we don't lift, what is the reason? As soon as they use the word safe, that means control, Erickson said, of government entities and acting and enforcing such stringent measures. They're using them to see how much of our freedom they can take from you, and it's working. Erickson noted that quarantining the healthy is like nothing he's ever seen before. We decided to keep people at home and isolate them, even though everything we've studied about quarantine, typically you quarantine the sick, he explained. When I talk to ER physicians around the country, people with heart disease, people with cancer, hypertension, and various things that are critical are choosing not to come in based on fear. He repeatedly called the initial models, which projected millions of COVID-19 deaths, woefully inaccurate. Millions of cases, small amounts of death, he reiterated multiple times. Lockdown orders have resulted in, for one thing, a community spike in child molestation, the doctor noted. Molestation is increasing at a severe rate. We could go over multiple cases of children who've been molested due to angry family members who are intoxicated, who are home and have no paycheck. Spousal abuse, alcoholism, anxiety, depression, and suicide have also spiked in their community, Dr. Erickson said. He noted that doctors across the country have felt pressured to include COVID on death reports. It's interesting. When I'm writing up my death report, I've been pressured to add COVID, Dr. Erickson said. And also adding to this from WND.com, shortly after the interview with these doctors, YouTube removed the videos out of this press briefing of these two California doctors. There had been some 5 million views, but of this DVD of their press conference. And in place of this, YouTube puts up a message saying that the contents violate the Google-owned platform's community guidelines. You know why? It's because they are in conflict with the World Health Organization. Now let's go to a story from WND.com. Here's another doctor. Government authorities, he said, advisors and analysts who are calling for a continuation of the near total lockdown of the economy are ignoring five facts. This is Dr. Scott Atlas, senior fellow at Stanford's Hoover Institution. The first fact, he said, is that overwhelming majority of people do not have any significant risk of dying from COVID-19. He pointed to a recent Stanford University antibody study that estimates the fatality rate if infected with coronavirus is likely 0.1% to 0.2%. Fact number two, protecting older at-risk people eliminates hospital overcrowding. Fact number three, vital population immunity is prevented by total isolation policies prolonging the problem. The main purpose of widespread immunization and other viral diseases to assist with population immunity, he said. Extending whole population isolation would directly prevent that widespread immunity from developing. And then fact four, people are dying because other medical care is not getting done due to hypothetical projections. And fact five, we have a clearly defined population at risk who can be protected with targeted measures. Very interesting indeed. I mean, doctors are coming out from all over. Here is a Bronx ER doctor. This is WND.com. New York City, with about one-third of coronavirus deaths in the U.S., is clearly the nation's front line. But an emergency room physician in the Bronx says that even there, authorities should end the lockdown and allow people to return to work. This is Dr. Daniel G. Murphy, chairman of the Department of Emergency Medicine at St. Barnabas Hospital. Again, here's four reasons. The number of cases and deaths is on a downward trend. Number two, non-coronavirus healthcare is suffering. Three, public fears don't match reality. And four, natural herd immunity is developing. His hospital has been quiet for more than a week now. Normally, they have 240 patients a day. Last week, it averaged fewer than 100. Very interesting. He says it's time to get people back to work. Also, Project Veritas has been doing more of their undercover work, and DailyWire.com speaks of this new video detailing their investigation into fraud, waste, abuse, and corruption in COVID. And they have interviewed funeral directors in New York skeptical about the number of cases attributed to COVID-19. And what they have on their video, which we don't have time to play or go through in great detail, but there are accounts from a number of funeral directors who are indicating that they're writing COVID on death certificates, whether or not they've had a positive test. Some of them are speculating that there is more federal funding coming for the COVID deaths to the hospitals and to the institutions. And the funeral home after funeral home collaborating in the fact that that there is great pressure to write COVID onto the death certificate with or without testing for that individual. Also, WesternJournal.com reporting Pennsylvania has removed hundreds of COVID-19 deaths from the official death count after coroners pointed out that the state's health department numbers did not match their numbers. Pennsylvania Health Department officials have included in their count probable coronavirus deaths in cases where they believed the virus was the cause of death but did not have confirmation from a positive test result, reports the Philadelphia Inquirer. Discrepancy in the numbers, and there's speculation that this is happening all over the nation. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk and come back with more of our news roundup program today. Some more stories on coronavirus, and we'll seek to get to some other issues as well. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, another heavy question. Is it true that some evolutionists actually claim that there's an evolutionary justification for rape?
Yes, indeed, Chris. As disgusting and far-fetched as it may sound, evolutionists claim that rape has its basis in evolutionary survival of the fittest. In evolution, the two main goals are survival and reproduction. That organism which can reproduce the most, pass its genes on to the greatest extent, is the one that's most fit. Thus, rape has its justification. If man is an evolved animal, this must be right for us too. But Chris, animal behavior should not be the model for human behavior. Humans were created in the image of God and are obliged to abide by His law. His design was one man for one woman for life, and that back to Genesis truth is the only one that will work.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today, and we're going right back to the coronavirus as a story from WND.com points out that Dr. Anthony Fauci, among the one-time members of the Obama administration who must be held accountable for the $3.7 million the U.S. granted to China for coronavirus research in 2014, contends Rudy Giuliani. Some of the money went to the Wuhan laboratory in which the coronavirus pandemic is believed to have originated. Giuliani wants to find out what Fauci knew since 1984. He served as the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 84. What he knew about what was going on in the Wuhan lab when the grant was made. Giuliani said this. It's a rather troubling statement. He said, I mean, just think of it. If this laboratory turns out to be the place where the virus came from, we paid for it. We paid for this virus that's killing us. From Newsmax.com, an ongoing U.S. government investigation into the origins of the coronavirus has found circumstantial evidence that a Wuhan, China lab released this COVID-19 on the world, the Washington Times reported Tuesday. A document obtained by the Times found that China's explanations for the originations of the virus are less credible than the evidence pointed to a Wuhan lab accident. Right now, circumstantial evidence, all other possible places of the virus origin have been proven to be highly unlikely. There is Huang Yanling, suspected of being patient zero and has mysteriously disappeared, per the report. He worked at this lab. But is the only employee whose biography, profile, and picture have been deleted on its website. That's very interesting. FoxNews.com tells us that the Office of the Director of National Intelligence confirmed on record for the first time yesterday that the U.S. intelligence community is investigating whether the coronavirus outbreak, which was causing havoc across the nation, was a result of an accident at a lab in Wuhan, China. Sources believe the World Health Organization was either complicit in the cover-up or looked the other way. Also, a troubling story, the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic has infected more than 3.1 million people worldwide. More than 216,000 deaths, WND.com reported on April 28th. But Summit News reported U.S. intelligence estimating that between March 23rd and April 4th, at least 45,500 corpses were incinerated in China. Summit News said a recent estimation of the true death toll released by the American Enterprise Institute suggested China had at least 2.9 million cases outside Hubei province, and the total number of deaths is likely well over 100,000 there. Okay, from the Daily Wire, a Trump administration official has reportedly told Fox News that the coronavirus numbers that the Chinese Communist Party had reported so underreported it is arithmetically impossible that, let's say, mathematically impossible. Their numbers are accurate. A Trump administration tells Fox News the estimate has miscalculated and underreported the true tally nationwide by at least a factor of 50. Very interesting indeed. Also, from Western Journal, in an appearance on Fox and Friends, White House trade advisor Peter Navarro said Beijing had vacuumed up mask and personal protective equipment before the communist country let the world know how dangerous the coronavirus is. Navarro also said that China was exporting low-quality antibody tests. Here from Gatestone Institute, Soren Kern reports that more than a dozen countries on four continents have recently disclosed problems with Chinese-made coronavirus tests and personal protective equipment. The problems range from test kits tainted with the coronavirus to medical garments contaminated with insects. Chinese authorities have refused to take responsibility for the defective equipment and have called on nations of the world to stop politicizing the problem. The Slovakian Prime Minister, Igor Matovic, disclosed that more than a million coronavirus tests supplied by China for a cash payment of our equivalent of $16 million were inaccurate and unable to detect COVID-19. The Spanish Ministry of Health revealed that more than half of the million coronavirus tests it had purchased from a Chinese vendor were defective. They had an accuracy detection rate of less than 30%. Also, a Spanish newspaper reported all 640,000 replacement tests also were useless. On April 15th, Spain's Ministry of Health recalled 350,000 so-called FFP2 masks after laboratory tests determined that they were substandard. And the list goes on. Another story that we have before us today from Gatestone Institute indicates that while the rest of the world is preoccupied with tackling the coronavirus pandemic, China is intensifying its efforts to extend its influence in the South China Sea by intimidating its Asian neighbors like Vietnam, the Philippines, Taiwan, Malaysia, all that have competing claims of their own. The arrival of China's aircraft carrier, together with five accompanying warships in the South China Sea earlier this month, has resulted in a significant increase in tensions in the Asia-Pacific region as Beijing seeks to take advantage of the coronavirus pandemic to flex its muscles. Also in China, if you're an individual returning to China from abroad or even from another area of China, you can expect a quarantine, reports Western Journal. The morning after an individual returned to Beijing, he found a surveillance camera being mounted on the wall outside his apartment door, its lens pointing right at him. After a trip to southern China, the 34-year-old and his family were starting their two-week home quarantine. He opened the door as the camera was being installed without warning. "Having a camera outside your door is an incredible erosion of privacy," he said. "Some people are seeing cameras have been placed inside their homes." CNN reported that pertaining to China. Twyla Braze from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, challenging the Minnesota Department of Health's unprecedented notification letter requiring all hospitals, folks, we're in Minnesota right now with this story, requiring all hospitals in Minnesota to submit admission, discharge, and transfer data on all hospitalized patients to the government with or without a COVID-19 diagnosis. To the extent Minnesota hospitals have felt compelled by your letter to provide MDH, Minnesota Department of Health, with anything other than data that specifically relates to COVID-19, we believe you have abused your authority and infringed upon Minnesotans' health privacy rights, wrote the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. They wrote this in an April 29th letter to the Minnesota Commissioner of Health. The Commissioner of Health is trying, they say, to goad Minnesota hospitals into helping them build an illegal hospital-based surveillance system under cover of the COVID-19 crisis at Twyla Brace. But the Commissioner's letter itself shows its lack of authority. Despite claims of statutory power, there's no deadline. It uses the word strongly encourage and says its goal is 100% compliance. Twyla says that they have this year-long surveillance in mind. Get more at Citizens Council for Health Freedom, cchfreedom.org. From townhall.com, criminals in New York City not following stay-at-home orders. Murders in New York have reportedly skyrocketed more than 55% over the last 28 days compared to the same time last year. Overall crime up 4.6% year-to-date. Breitbart reports that between April 13th and April 19th, murders in the Big Apple increased 100%. Grand larceny, auto, is also soaring in the city, up more than 62% overall. Burglaries also way up, some 25% in the last 28 days and more than 36% in the last week. Huge part of the problem is bail reform, where those suspected of burglary, certain types of homicide, and various other serious crimes are immediately released. NYPD Commissioner Bill Branton said Sunday that New Yorkers are now suffering from two viruses, one that's taking hundreds and thousands of lives, the other that's putting hundreds of thousands of lives in absolute fear of people breaking into their apartments. FoxNews.com reporting New York canceling the Democratic presidential primary for the first time ever due to COVID-19. They're getting a big backlash from Bernie Sanders supporters. Whose name he had asked to stay on the ballot. They are nixing the election scheduled for June 23rd. And Sanders' campaign advisor Jeff Weaver said in a statement just last week, Vice President Biden warned the American people that President Trump could use the current crisis as an excuse to postpone the November election. Well, now he has a precedent thanks to New York State. It's completely wrong, tweeted AOC. The state is still holding elections for every other seat that day, and so far, the only way your ballot will be 100% be counted in New York is to vote in person. Very interesting what's going on in New York at this time. And what else is going on is that Jews are being scapegoated. This is from CBN News. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio taking heat for singling out the Jewish community for criticism after hundreds had gathered for a rabbi's funeral in Brooklyn. De Blasio issued a series of angry tweets calling the gathering absolutely unacceptable, saying scenes will not be tolerated. One of his tweets called out the Jewish community in general. My message to the Jewish community and all communities is this simple. The time for warnings has passed. Very interesting indeed. Also, we have from BreakingIsraelNews.com, de Blasio saying, I've instructed the NYPD to proceed immediately to summons or even arrest those who gather in large groups. This is about stopping the disease and saving lives, period. President Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., joined the Jewish community in calling out Blasio's bigotry in all of this. We'll be delving more into this with Chris Katulka next week, Lord willing, on Crosstalk from the Friends of Israel. Let's see. Oh, yes. Monday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi suggested that a guaranteed minimum income might be part of the future round of coronavirus legislation. Let's see what works, what is operational, what needs our attention. Others have suggested a minimum income, a guaranteed income for people. Is that worthy of our attention now? Perhaps so, Pelosi said. Universal basic income. Also, we have from FoxNews.com, Republican senators ramping up warnings that the recent boost in jobless benefits amid the coronavirus crisis, pushing unemployment higher as individuals are able to collect more money through the program than they made doing their job. Small businesses will struggle as long as unemployment pays more than work, said Ben Sass of Nebraska. From CNSNews.com, President Trump indicated on Tuesday that while he's open to reimbursing states for lost revenue from the coronavirus pandemic, he's not interested in providing bailouts for mismanagement or rewarding sanctuary city policies. And let's see, from Town Hall, Jerry Nadler told MSNBC that President Trump's attempts to reopen the country too early amid this pandemic will result in thousands of people being killed from the virus, accusing the president of rushing the reopening process to boost his chances of winning re-election. In times of reopening, he said, we have to be very, very careful. By the way, the Trump administration has acted to ensure that no funds from the new Paycheck Protection Program set up to assist small businesses, none of those funds, he said, will go to Planned Parenthood. He's committed to ensuring Paycheck Protection Program money is used for saving jobs at small businesses, not getting the government into the business of funding abortion, a senior administrator told the Daily Signal. Also, we have Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, this is from LifeSiteNews.com, said abortion is an essential health care service during the coronavirus crisis, saying we need to ensure that women have access to all health services during the crisis. He said states should not be using public health crises to infringe on a woman's constitutional right to abort her child, Biden said. We're going to take a quick break. I've got some more stories after the break here, and we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Have you ever had someone attempt to talk to you about the Watchtower Society or the Book of Mormon? Or perhaps a friend has told you they've started yoga and invite you to participate. You know you heard something about these religions and teachings, but never had the material in your hand to give a biblical response to their teachings. Well, now you can. Two world-renowned researchers, Dr. Ron Carlson and Ed Decker, have teamed up to write Fast Facts on False Teachings, an easy-to-use resource guide that gives you quick, clear facts about several cults and false teachings. You'll find chapters on atheism, Freemasonry, Hinduism and yoga, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, and much more. Fast Facts on False Teachings is available for a donation of $16 or more by writing VCY America at 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208. To make your donation by phone, call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. I've just got some more things I really, really want to share with you here today on the program because there is a lot going on that the media certainly is not making us aware of, but things that are taking place beneath the radar. And this is another one of those issues from WND.com. Secretary General of the UN says the world should take advantage of the coronavirus pandemic to advance green energy programs to combat climate change. Isn't that what Tom DeWeese talked about Wednesday on Crosstalk? He said we have a rare and short window of opportunity to rebuild our world. That's Antonio Guterres. We got to take this window of opportunity. As we recover, we must build back better for the people and the planet. He insisted on having $100 billion every year to spend on climate change. Not only him, but Hillary Clinton. She's in this town hall with Joe Biden. And saying this coronavirus, it would be a terrible crisis to waste. Listen in.
And then it needs to be part of a much larger system that eventually and quickly, I hope, gets us to universal health care. So I can only say amen to everything you're saying, but also to, again, enlist people that this would be a terrible crisis to waste, as the old saying goes. We've learned a lot about what our absolute frailties are in our country when it comes to health justice and economic justice. So, you know, let's be resolved that we're going to solve those once you're elected president.
Yeah, as she said, this would be a terrible crisis to waste. That's why some of the universal basic income, we are seeing the reforms looking at for voting and trying to do mail-in only voting here across the nation, a push for that coming up in November. And then we see some strange and wild police power. Here's Calumet County, Wisconsin. FaithWire.com reporting this. Calumet County, Wisconsin, where a Wisconsin mom videotaped two police officers who showed up at her home and accused her of allowing her daughter to play at a friend's house, an act that they deemed to be in defiance of Wisconsin's stay-at-home order. The deputy, I listened to the video myself. Deputy asked, are you aware that we're in a stay-at-home order now, right now, by the government of Wisconsin? You're aware of that? I don't need to explain that to you, okay? Because I can if you need me to, the officer says somewhat sarcastically. The woman says, your officer was here just 2 weeks ago and said that they're not enforcing that order, the mother said. Well, we're about to. Stop having your kid go by other people's homes. Don't let your daughter play next door with a neighbor. Folks, it's outrageous what's going on. And then we see in places like California closing down all the beaches. 90-degree weather. No, stay away from the beach. Here at KTLA reporting hours after Governor Newsom ordered all Orange County beaches to close, Huntington Beach City Council voted Thursday evening to challenge the directive. Last night, they voted to challenge this. After meeting in closed session to discuss the measure, they voted 5-2 to take any legal action to challenge the governor's executive order. And there's no end in sight for some. Here's a Washington Examiner. During a briefing on the coronavirus response, Virginia Health Commissioner Norman Oliver said Democratic Governor Ralph Northam's Phase 1 coronavirus response plan could last for as long as 2 years. A Virginia Department of Health representative immediately attempted to walk back Oliver's comments, suggesting that Oliver meant the coronavirus will be with Virginians for 2 years and not that state-mandated lockdowns would continue that long. Yeah, that's right, because people's attention really said Phase 1 response plan could last as long as 2 years. Phase 1, that's before we get to Phase 2. He knew what he was saying, just didn't want the people to know it. That's my opinion. Daily Wire reporting of the New Mexico governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, threatening to crack down on a small city for bucking her stay-at-home order, pushing to reopen businesses. Grants Mayor Martin Hicks encouraged businesses in the city to reopen on Monday, defying the stay-at-home order. South Dakota, it's a different story there. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who did not issue stay-at-home order for her state, was surprised when all of a sudden she walked out of her residence, there was a parade thrown in her honor. The woman filming said, tells the governor, it's a parade for you, wave to them as she begins to get a little emotional, saying, I'm so blessed to serve the people of the great state of South Dakota. You folks made my day. Michelle Obama, this is from CNSNews.com, she put together two public service announcement videos urging African Americans to stay safe from the coronavirus, stay home. Very next day, her husband Barack spotted on the golf course. I tell you what's going on in Florida here. I don't have time to go through all the story, but in, Volusia County, where they have these drones that are coming up and warning people if they're not social distancing, having speakers right on them telling people about social distancing. They're also equipped with a FLIR, which reported earlier, the forward-looking infrared that can detect people's temperatures in a range between 99 and 105 degrees Fahrenheit. U.S. Attorney General William Barr warning public officials that the Constitution is not suspended for COVID-19, issuing a statement that he directed prosecutors to prioritize cases against those seeking to elicit, who are illicit and profiting from the pandemic as well, emphasizing government may not impose special restrictions on religious activities that do not also apply to other non-religious activity. And that's why Matt Staver at Liberty Council has launched Reopen Church. Is calling on believers to begin the process of meeting again starting this weekend, saying the First Amendment prohibits government from prescribing the form or manner of worship, and their attorneys have counseled hundreds of churches that will participate in Reopen Church Sunday this weekend or soon thereafter. He was on the program previous talking about what he means by that. You can get the details, reopenchurch.org, reopenchurch.org. So much of this is geared at President Donald Trump. And this is Newsbusters pointing this out. After some uncertainty about the future of the White House, coronavirus task force briefings, Monday's edition went off without a hitch in the Rose Garden. And questions were relatively fair and uncontroversial. That is, until the New York Magazine's Olivia Nunzi was granted the final question, asking President Trump whether he deserves a second term since more Americans have died from coronavirus than the Vietnam War. What a question. Does the president need to, should he expect to be reelected? Here's the interchange, the exchange, I should say, that took place.
If an American president loses more Americans over the course of 6 weeks than died in the entirety of the Vietnam War, does he deserve to be reelected?
So, yeah, we've lost a lot of people, but if you look at what original projections were, 2.2 million, we're probably heading to 60,000, 70,000. It's far too many. One person is too many for this. And I think we've made a lot of really good decisions. The big decision was closing the border or doing the ban. People coming in from China, obviously, other than American citizens, which had to come in. Can't say you can't come in. You can't come back to your country. I think we've made a lot of good decisions. I think that Mike Pence and the task force have done a fantastic job. I think that everybody working on the ventilators, you see what we've done there, have done unbelievable. The press doesn't talk about ventilators anymore. They just don't want to talk about them, and that's okay. But the reason they don't want to talk, that was a subject that nobody would get off of. They don't want to talk about them. We're in the same position on testing. We are lapping the world on testing, and the world is coming to us. As I said, they're coming to us saying, what are you doing? How do you do it? We're helping them. So, no, I think we've done a great job, and one person, I will say this, one person is too many.
President Donald Trump responding to the reporter's question. Are you monitoring what's going on with school assignments and emails that are coming from perhaps your public school to your child? Alex Newman at thenewamerican.com tells of an outraged California mom who announced on Facebook she would be pulling her children from public school after receiving an email advertising an online LGBTQ plus safe space web hangout for LGBTQ plus youths ages 13 to 25. Emailed to middle school children by government schools in California's Gilroy and Morgan Hill School District. The safe space web hangout is private and by invite only. Happens every Wednesday at 4 p.m., the email said. Parents shocked, saying, "I cannot believe I just received this email from my child's middle school." Something else as it relates to education. Since the Department of Education began cracking down on the failure to report riches from abroad, colleges across the country have become much more meticulous in their disclosures of assets from foreign funding, with some digging up records dating back to 2013. A D.C.-based nonprofit has found that U.S. schools previously failed to report $1 billion based on its comparison of the new disclosures, with last year's now revealed to be massively incomplete. Of that $1 billion, about one-third came from countries known for their influence operations in America, according to the Clarion Project. The country with the most previously unreported data is China, equaling $144 million from the communist country across 48 American institutions over the last 6 years, the project found. Newly reported income by universities from Saudi Arabia amounts to $70 million, dates back to as far as 2013. Some of the data from Turkey is just as old, with $8.5 million initially left hanging across half a dozen U.S. universities. Initially underreported data from the United Arab Emirates, totaling $16.6 million across eight schools. Russia, $500,000 gift that New York University's belatedly reported from 2018. Three universities failed to report a total of $117 million from an income from Qatar. Most of that figure is made up of funds received by Georgetown. Texas A&M University failed to report and are already under investigation by the federal government, reports a story here from the College Fix. Maybe this answers the question why so many schools of higher learning are pro-Islamic and pro-communist China. Let's open some phone lines. I've talked a lot. I've got more, but like to hear from you today. Your response to these stories or your comments on other current event stories are number 800-733-9829 today on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. LifeSiteNews.com reports Twitter co-founder CEO Jack Dorsey pledged to give $1 billion of his own money to fund global COVID-19 relief and to support a progressive political agenda, including promotion of population control. After we disarm this pandemic, our focus will shift to girls' health and education and UBI, Dorsey announced on, that's Universal Basic Income, by the way. He announced on Twitter on April 7th. He explained that this universal basic income and girls' health and education represent the best long-term solution to the existential problems facing the world. He then linked to some specific websites of Project Drawdown, talking about family planning and also population growth. We've got Don calling in from Pensacola. Don, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. FYI, my wife and I are social distancing at the Pensacola Beach is open, and it's wonderful just to give our listeners a little hope. If you're thinking of coming to the beach, come ahead. There's room, and the bridge is flowing. It's fluid. I want to remind our listeners to pray for our nation, pray for President Trump, and get the gospel tracts out to the lost. Thank you.
Thank you, Don, for your call here. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls. Our number, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Do you want to know the end game? Revelation 18 tells us what the end game is. It is a world government based on governments, business, and religion. Governments, business, and religion. Or you could say merchants, kings, nations, and spiritualism. That's what we're doing. That's what we're seeing. The rise of world government, the rise of big international corporations working in concert with the world governments, and a sorcery, occultism, new age, spiritualism, mysticism, whatever you want to call it. And Revelation 18 speaks of this. Whether you were talking the New King James or the New American, they use the word merchants four times, kings twice, nations twice, sorcery once, and all kinds of talk about the people being drunk with the spiritualism of the occultic system of Babylon. You see, it's all coming in to clear view now.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're going right back to the phone lines here today. And let's begin in, Madison, Wisconsin. Dan, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hey, I saw something last night, and I did Google it to check again here, that regarding the vaccines, they shut everything down, all kinds of stuff that you get from them. You click it on, and YouTube blocks it for it's not community news. And I saw in this last year where Adam Schiff wrote a letter to Zuckerberg saying that they gotta block anybody that says anything negatively about vaccines. So, I mean, the fix is in, and people have to get woken up. Appreciate you.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the pro-life group Children of God for Life has been monitoring. I've seen somewhere, I don't know what it is, 14 different potential vaccines. Some of them have utilized aborted fetal tissue in them. Some do not, but they're monitoring that. You can go to cogforlife.org. Let's go to Port Wing, Wisconsin. Tom, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. I just wanted to remind the people in northwestern Wisconsin that we had a Democrat assemblyman every year who entered a death with dignity bill, and now that same Democrat Party is trying to tell us they're wringing their hands over the death of elderly people. I find this to ring very hollow, Jim.
Yeah, it's a double standard. And they think nothing about killing at the early end of life either in the mother's womb.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Manny in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hey, just wanted to kind of just give a comment on just this whole globalism being established. I feel like at this point it's something that's just we can report, and it's nothing that we can actually change because it's biblical, and what's coming is coming. It's nothing we can change. I can see through viruses, through chaos, all this. You know, they're going to come even with the economy. They're going to push, you know, the microchip. And on that microchip, it'll show if you've been vaccinated, if you've been, you know, or the new monetary system that they're trying to establish. So I think this is going to be here. And last thing is, I believe this next economic collapse will be the final nail in the coffin for fiat worldwide. I do a lot of studying economies and history, and I think this is it's over from here on out.
Mm. Very okay. Thank you, Manny, for your call, and let's pray that hearts and individuals will turn to repentance and turn to God. Thank you for your call. Elizabeth calling in from Annandale, New Mexico, or Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted the announcement made that a group called Recall Governor Walz on Facebook has planned a worship service on the state capitol lawns on Sunday morning from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., so I'm just, and it, you can do your practice with social distancing. It's going to be out on the state capitol lawn in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Blanche in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm just calling to say as long as those Democrat people up there, it's in that they're in our government, our country will never open again. But we've got to get them out of there. We've got to pray, fast, and believe. Get those people out of our country because they want to turn us to communists. That's what they're going for. Mm-hmm. Close us down, put us against each other, and go to communists.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts, Blanche. Andy is next in Princeton. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if you heard any truth to anything about all these major companies selling off their stock and turning it to cash and savings bonds. I heard that today, earlier this morning, from a fellow that lives out in California that goes to school for pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was wondering if there's any truth in that.
I don't have any information on that, Andy. Not an area that I've researched, but
okay.
Thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Anthony in Rome, Georgia, you're on the air.
Yeah, this whole corona business has shown up that the world's most expensive healthcare system is no better than the not so good ones we keep getting told about.
Hmm.
It just goes to show, doesn't it, that if you've got 99 ventilators and 100 sick people, someone has to go without. And at least those people overseas, as my brother-in-law in England says, none of us are going to die in poverty because of an ingrown toenail like you guys in America are.
Hmm.
But anyway.
Well, very interesting. As President Trump, thank you for the call. As President Trump pointed out in that clip, nobody's talking about ventilators anymore. There's not a shortage, he said, but nobody's talking about it anymore because there was a lot of hype regarding that previous. Merle in Tennessee, our final caller today. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, in light of the vaccines that they'll eventually try to force on us, the Daigle report, which anybody can have access to on the internet, they are projecting the population of the United States by 2025 to be 85 million.
Hmm. Yeah, I can't substantiate that, Merle, but we do know population control is certainly part of the agenda on many. Thank you for the call. I just want to close with this story here today. Trust it might get your wheels churning in your mind here from WND.com and first appeared on the Western Journal. A newspaper delivery man from New Jersey has found joy and purpose in helping at-risk and elderly customers who are staying home and staying safe during the quarantine. Greg Daly is now delivering more than just the daily news on his central New Jersey route. He's delivering much-needed groceries free of charge to people in need. He said when one of his customers asked if he could toss her newspaper closer to the garage instead of the sidewalk. The simple request pulled at his heartstrings. He said if she can't get the paper at the sidewalk, which is 20 feet from the house in this pandemic, how is she going to get the things she needs? So a couple days later, he decided that he was going to do something about it. He wrote a note and inserted it in the next day's newspapers, announcing who he was and saying he'd deliver newspapers. He said, I'd like to offer my services free of charge to anyone who needs groceries. And he said he had has been busy nonstop now with handling phone calls, writing down grocery orders, and carefully shopping, and places of bags at the customers' doorsteps, waving a quick hello and goodbye to the faces that appear a safe distance away. Customers have been overjoyed at his kind act of service, which has grown to include people who are not on his route but need the help all the time, all the same. He said, I don't have enough adjectives, one woman said. He is one of the finest people in the world. Recently widowed, he has been one of nearly 100 senior citizens so far to benefit from the grocery delivery. And just saying there's a new level of appreciation. He said, when this is all over, he said, no, I'm not going to stop. There's something about being able to do something really nice for people. And I found that very interesting because I think each of us can certainly look, what can we do for somebody else? Is there a person in your church that needs a phone call or an encouragement, a letter sent to them, a card in the mail? Is there a neighbor that needs some groceries to be picked up? Think what you can do to be an encouragement to others. And as another previous caller said, what can you do to share the gospel in such a time as this? Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Have a blessed weekend.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.